And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us. It's the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Open talk to begin the program today. Our phone number, as usual, 283-2525. A little bit later, we're going to be chatting with Steve Monteleone from the It's About the Warrior Foundation. There's an event coming up that will help to benefit that organization. We'll talk to Steve about what it's all about. Ask the Warrior, a program to help our veterans, particularly our returning veterans from the Middle East, where the war in Afghanistan is now nearly 18 years old, by far the longest war in American history. 18 years. World War II lasted about 4 years for us. Wow. Well, we'll talk about that with Steve a little bit later on the program today, Steve Monteleone. But open talk to begin with, 283-2525 is our number. First day of school today for students in the Freeport Area School District. Slippery Rock Area School District started yesterday. The bulk of our public schools here in our listening area will open up next week. There are some rare exceptions every year. Mars, for example, this year, not opening until after Labor Day, but they've got some construction work going on there, particularly in the Mars Middle School. And that's pretty much the only reason these days why school districts wait until after Labor Day to open up. You know, the pretty common these days to have everybody open up in late August. I don't know whether that's good or bad. When I was of school age, it was always after Labor Day that school got underway, right after Labor Day. But it's different now, and it's different for colleges and universities, too. They almost all start in the latter part of August. Slippery Rock University and BC3 have the first day of classes this coming Monday. So it's back to school time. A high school in California, outside of San Francisco, has banned phones during school hours. No phones during school hours. Now, for those of us who are baby boomers or older, obviously we didn't have any phones to take to school when we were going to school. But kids today, everybody has a phone. You know, even many elementary school kids have their own phones. I wonder about that sometimes, but certainly junior high school and high school kids, they all have phones. Well, at this school, this high school outside of San Francisco, all students are required to stick their phones into little pouches that lock until the last bell rings. And they say if there's an emergency, all the pouches can easily be unlocked. Teachers say they already see a difference. Even in the first few days of school, kids are actually talking face-to-face at lunchtime. And that's something that I hadn't thought of. We didn't have phones when we went to school. But you can imagine what most cafeterias look like in this day and age when all the kids having phones are have their face in their phone, right? At the high school cafeteria. Well, they're trying it out at that high school in California. I have wondered about kids taking phones to school, about the danger of cheating on tests. You know, if you got your smartphone in your hand, you can Google just about anything these days and get an answer in a matter of seconds. Would that be hard to police? I don't know. But I think most schools these days allow kids to take their phones, right? Yeah. Pretty pretty loose policy on that. I would imagine that a lot of teachers demand that the phones not be used during class. I would imagine. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525, open talk on the program today. I don't have any real sharp memories of going back to school at the end of summer vacation. I can't say that I ever regretted it. I was happy to go back to school, back with friends and so on and so forth. I don't have any sharp memories of it being a real, watershed moment going back to school. Well, it's open talk, so let's get to the people here today on the program. Hi, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Good afternoon, Dave. Two comments. One was I really enjoyed it when Labor Day was the last vacation of summer, and then you went back to school.
I agree with you. I thought that was the way to do it. I'm not quite sure why most school districts now start in August. Is there some reason for it or what,
That's what I was wondering, whether it's because they think there's going to be more snow days or they need to have more teacher consult days or what. But the second observation I made this morning, I just came back from shopping, and I noticed that there was one mom with a child in their grocery cart with the child maybe was 2.5 or 3, and they had a device in their hands watching an animated cartoon or something. A little further along the store, I noticed a mother with 5 little ones with her. Now, I don't know that they were all hers or if she's a child caregiver or what, but she was engaging them. She was saying things like, now, which aisle do you think we could find this in, and what price do you think that should be, and what do you suppose the things we can do with this, whether it was Clorox bleach or something, do you think we can do other things with bleach besides laundry? And She was really engaging the kids, not only by asking questions, but listening to their answers.
Good for her, huh?
I wanted to commend her and tell the children with her, you're so lucky that you have an adult here who's making you think, engaging you in the shopping process. What's our best price? What's the best size to get? How much do you think we'll use? How many boxes of cereal do you think we'll need for 5 children for the week? Or even, and...
Yeah. I don't know. I obviously, have a cell phone, I have a smartphone. I think it's a great thing, but I am not in it all the time. I've never felt the need to do that. I never have put my face in my phone for long periods of time. I mainly use it to talk to people or to send a text,
I must say I do enjoy it when I'm out and about for research, but I've got to agree with you that I'm hoping many other schools follow the lead of that California school and saying, okay, these are the hours, no smartphones.
I'm into that. Hey, thanks for the call. Good to talk with you today.
Nice to chat with you, Dave. Certainly enjoy your program.
Thanks very much for that. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk, 283-2525. Caller, thanks for waiting. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hello?
Hi. How are you? Nice to talk to you today.
Well, I'm not doing too bad. I have a concern about the wheelchairs running around in Butler, like crossing the street, going through the parking lots, and a lot of them are so low that you cannot really see them.
You're talking
now,
about these...
Is there any restriction on any of this? Or?
You're talking about these motorized wheelchairs?
Yes,
I really don't know whether there are regulations. I know that it can be a danger. When you first started to see these... I know that a lot of them had a yellow or an orange flag, up on the back that you could readily see them. But I don't see that anymore, and I see a lot more of these motorized scooters. I agree with you. It's a concern. The other day, I was driving down a really busy street here in the city. I'm trying to remember what it was, Pillow Street, maybe even Hanson Avenue, and there was a gentleman on the street riding one of these things. He was off on the side, but going down the street, And I thought, boy, oh boy, that is right. Really,
just
really
dangerous.
Right,
they seemed to have no concern for the traffic. My concern was last weekend I was trying to back into a parking space, and my gosh, if it wouldn't have been for my update on my car beeping me that he was behind me, you know, I had no clue he was coming there.
Yeah.
There was no flag on his cycle, no nothing.
And
so I just thought, you know, before somebody gets hit like that lady down the road the other day, got run over, you know,
mm-hmm.
You'd think there'd be some alert to these people to put some kind of a flag or restrict them to crossing at the crosswalks or somewhere.
Well, I agree. It's a concern. Thanks for mentioning it. Thank you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525. I have had some close calls. I've also had at intersections in downtown Butler, in particular along Main Street, some of the side streets where a person in one of these motorized scooters or motorized wheelchairs will cross right in front of you without looking, you know. You just have to be really super, super alert. And then there are pedestrians who will, and this, I don't think I'm a person that, you know, easily gets irked, but just a couple of days ago, I was waiting patiently at one of the intersections to cross Main Street. It was Main and Newcastle, Main and North, I'm not sure. For those of you who have to do that on a regular basis, you know that it takes a long time to wait to cross Main Street. The way that PennDOT has rigged at the traffic lights now, you don't have very long. And I was sitting there waiting patiently, and finally the light turns green, and just then a pedestrian stepped off the curb right in front of me and just nonchalantly walked across the street. And I obviously had to wait. But I'd been sitting there for, you know, close to 2 minutes waiting for the green light, and walked right across in front of me, almost daring me, you know. Go ahead, hit me. Then, yeah, I was irked. Because you don't have that long until the red light recycles again, and I got to sit there and wait. Inconsiderate, I guess, huh? Yeah. Inconsiderate or just plain stupid. I'm not sure. 283-2525 is the number. Open talk, 283-2525. The motorized scooters and wheelchairs are great for, you know, the disabled. And I think it's fabulous that we have these now, but they do have to be very careful when they're on sidewalks and crossing streets and for heaven's sakes, not on streets, please. That is just not safe at all. Open talk on the program today, 283-2525, 283-2525. Have you noticed the uptick in the number of incidents of either concern about a mass shooting or threats of a mass shooting or foiled attempts at mass shootings over the past few weeks? It is really scary, isn't it? It really makes you wonder about our society. Where did all this come from? You know, some people say, well, people are mad, they're angry. Hey, people were angry years ago. And we didn't have these mass shootings and these threats of mass shootings. Is it copycat? Because of the incredible number of incidents that we've had. Is it copycat? I don't know. I had a tense situation just yesterday at a church in Cranberry Township. Now, fortunately, it turned out that nobody was hurt. But it was one of those situations that, you know, even a few years ago would have been unimaginable. You're not safe at church? Well, anymore, that's kind of the case. You're not safe anywhere anymore. What's the cause? It's complex. You can't point to any one particular thing. Ease of access to assault-style weapons? Part of it, I would say. But not all. Stress and mental illness, part of it. Not all. I would point to something, and you don't see this discussed in the national media, at least I haven't. The loss of respect for life. You know, you can be mad, you can be angry, but where's the respect for life? Such a precious thing. And it just seems to have gone out the window, doesn't it? How did we lose that? The respect for life, at all stages of life. I don't know. And it does make you shake your head these days. It does indeed. And, you know, we've had incidents just in the past couple of days in several parts of the county where police were able to thwart a would-be shooter. Yeah, it's a scary time. It really is. It really is. 283-2525 is our number. Open talk on this Thursday. I'm checking the radar. As you know, we have a pretty good chance of showers and thunderstorms developing today. There's some activity now, and there has been for about the past half hour or so along the I-80 corridor, and just south of that, actually, and there's some communities in the very northern part of Butler County. Some activity right now up around Emlenton, Foxburg, St. Petersburg, that area. And some pockets of what looks like some pretty heavy downpours. I'm just checking the radar here. And probably at some point this afternoon and this evening, pretty much all of our listening area is going to be affected. It's still kind of hit and miss. We're not quite sure how it's going to develop. And we've had a good bit of cloud cover today. Some occasional sunshine, but mainly cloudy skies, and at times kind of dark clouds. But at the moment, that's the only actual rain we see. There's more in Ohio. Might be working its way toward us, but in these kind of conditions, you never know how long that those particular storms are going to hold together. So I don't see any reports of lightning or anything like that. It's just spotty shower activity and in some areas some heavier downpours. No surprise, we knew it was coming today. Hopefully this will be the last day of the unsettled weather. We've had it all week long. Every day it's been pretty much the same forecast. This should be the last of it. The forecast for tomorrow and for Saturday and for Sunday is ginger peachy keen. Not too hot. Lots of sunshine. That's what we like to see. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR in just a moment. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler is continuing their collection of excess backyard garden produce. Saturday mornings, they have a representative at St. Michael's Hall, right behind St. Michael Church on Center Avenue on Butler's south side. And they have people there from 8 a.m. until noon every Saturday. So if you have any excess garden produce, sometimes, you know, you backyard gardeners, you know what happens. You wait and you wait and you wait, and then everything comes on all at once. Tomatoes, peppers, beans, corn, whatever. Yeah, corn. Well, if you've got any left over after you've taken care of your family and the neighbors and the relatives, don't let it go to waste. Now, consider donating that excess to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. You take it over on Saturday morning. It's distributed to needy families from the food bank on Monday. Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Here in Butler, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Remember, every Saturday morning from now through September, 8 a.m. to noon at St. Michael Hall, right behind St. Michael Church on Center Avenue on Butler's south side.
Everyone's trying to beat the heat, so why bring it into your kitchen? There's no need to slave over a hot stove when you can go to Michael's Restaurant. They're cooking burgers, hoagies, pizzas, soups, and salads to feed the entire family. So relax, stay cool, and take the family to Michael's Restaurant, Route 422 in Butler.
Open Talk, 283-2525 is our number, 283-2525. We had a caller, oh gosh, it was a week or so ago, and I apologize, taking so long to get an answer for her. She was inquiring about a book that we had reviewed on Book Talk. She thought within the past couple of months, actually it was June of last year. So it went back a ways. But she said it was a book about going down an elevator, and she couldn't remember the title of it. And I said I would find it for her. The title was Long Way Down. Long Way Down by Jason Reynolds. And it was an interesting book. So if you're listening, that was the title, and I apologize that it took me so long to dig that out for you. I promised I'd get it, and you know what happens, one thing after another, and it turns out I had to go back a little further than I thought. Long Way Down. Speaking of Book Talk, we have one coming up this Monday. We do it the fourth Monday of every month in cooperation with the Federated Library System of Butler County and the South Butler Community Library, which is in Saxonburg, has chosen for discussion this month, Midnight in Chernobyl. This is a nonfiction book. It is the untold story of the world's greatest nuclear disaster at Chernobyl, which, of course, was quite a few years ago. How long ago was that? 20 years? Be my guess. I just started reading it. It was longer than that. It's close to 30 years now. 1986. Well, it's a fascinating story, and it's kind of sobering. It's kind of scary, actually. Midnight in Chernobyl. We'll be talking about it with folks from the South Butler Community Library in Saxonburg on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn, Midnight in Chernobyl. They eventually had to seal the whole place off. I think they built a dome over the nuclear power plant that went awry. And, of course, they've had a lot of illness in that area as a result of the radiation leak. We'll talk about it on Monday. Had a story that came from the AAA a couple of weeks back that noted that in-vehicle entertainment systems are becoming especially distracting, and particularly to older drivers. I don't know how new your car is, but every model year they put more and more complex entertainment systems. You know, a few years back, all the new cars started to have the little video screen. First, it was just a backup camera. You know, when you put your car into reverse, the backup camera automatically clicks on, and on your video screen there, you can see what's behind you, at least what's immediately behind you. And that's kind of handy. And then the video screens got bigger and bigger. And if you have a newer car, you know what I'm talking about. All your controls now for your radio and everything, that's all on a video screen. You don't have the push buttons like you had even a few years ago, or the touch buttons. It's all just touch screen now, the latest. And of course, there are models and entertainment systems that play movies, all kind of stuff. You have maps that you can put up there to tell you where you're going or tell you where you need to turn. It can be pretty distracting. There's no question about it. And, of course, you can answer your phone through your car's entertainment system now in most my car, at least, you press a button on your steering wheel and can answer the phone while you're driving along. It's pretty amazing, but it is complex. And the AAA says their surveys, their data is indicating that this has become especially distracting to older drivers, distracting to anybody, I think, in terms of fiddling around with that stuff. AAA is recommending that you practice using voice command and touch screen functions when you're not driving, so that you can build up a comfort level, you know, in case you have to use them while you're driving. Not a good idea to try to do that anyway. But be careful. It's so easy to, you know, look down and then you look down again, and next thing you know, the car in front of you is put on the brakes and, you know, whatever. Or you can drift off the highway. Very, very easy to do. So watch out for that. And if you have older drivers in the family, yeah, make sure that they're aware of that, too. There's just a lot of stuff to look at. It's not like it used to be when you're driving a car. And with the videos that can play now, it really scares me. Kind of like autonomous vehicles. Vehicles without drivers. I keep saying it's the wave of the future. And I keep saying, why do we need it? It just really kind of scares me. But it's coming. It's coming. And with regard to one of our earlier callers talking about seeing a parent interacting with their kids while they were shopping, that is something that you don't see as often as you used to. You see more and more kids and young people, even when they're out shopping, with their face in a phone. No personal interaction. Kind of scary, too, isn't it? 283-2525 is the number. It's Open Talk. Hi there, caller. This is Dave Malarkey. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk with you.
I was curious about if there had been any developments on the bill that some legislator introduced about bringing back the sticker and the registration for the license plate.
No, we had a story on that late last week. I think it was last Friday.
Yeah.
It was an interesting bill that this legislator from Eastern Pennsylvania, I forget his name, but it would be not only a return to the sticker that you put on the corner of your license plate, but it would be a combined sticker for state inspection and vehicle registration.
Right. My first question was, where were those stickers made before they eliminated it? Was it from his district?
I don't know.
What kind of contribution was made to his campaign to try and get that bill reintroduced.
That's possible, but I wondered when PennDOT said they could save $3 million a year in printing them and mailing them out, and it turns out they lost a whole lot more than that, an estimated 10 times more than that, because of the number of people who just don't register their vehicle now.
Yeah,
they just don't do it. And you know, unless a police officer would run their plate for whatever reason, and if they're not committing any violation, no police officer is going to run their plate.
Right.
There's no way to tell whether they registered their vehicle or not. So PennDOT is actually losing money instead of saving money.
Yeah, I understand that point of view, but I think, you know, there's got to be some kind of middle of the road thing there too. I mean, you know, if you get your registration done, maybe when you get your inspection done, keep it on your car, because people can steal the plates, but they can't steal that sticker from inside your car, right?
Well, I wondered about that too, because the legislation that was proposed, as I understand it, would be a sticker on your plate. And I don't know. I think the sticker on your windshield is better for state inspection. First of all, it's much easier for law enforcement to tell if your car's inspected or not, you know.
Right.
And And you too.
when
you get in the car, I know that happened to me this summer because I couldn't remember for sure whether my inspection was due in July or August. And you get in the car and you can, you know, starting up the car, you can look right at it and say, oh, okay, it's July.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, great talking to you. Great station. I'm a regular morning and afternoon listener, so good job, Dave.
I appreciate your comments on that.
Yeah,
good to talk to you.
So long. Bye-bye.
Okay, we take a break, and we're scheduled to chat with Steve Monteleone coming up on the next segment of the program about all about the Warrior Foundation. So please stick around. We'll be back with Steve in just a couple of minutes.
Compassionate Certification Centers makes getting your medical card so easy. They can help you if you have problems registering on the state's website and can even get your medical records from your doctor. They have 10 convenient locations, and I only needed one appointment. Call CCC today to find out if you qualify at 888-316-9085. You can even send in your medical records for a free review before booking an appointment. That's 888-316-9085 or cccregister.com.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do.
Hop the bus.
Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back, good friends. Great to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program for a Thursday. Welcome guest Steve Monteleone here in the studio from It's About the Warrior Foundation. Hey, Steve, good to see you again.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. The occasion to speak with Steve is we're coming up here in just a couple of weeks, actually, for the Wiffle Ball Tournament for the Vets. September 7th, I believe, is the date, right?
Yes, sir, out at the Beacon.
And that's a Saturday here at the Butler Radio Network and Rock Station 97.7, one of our sister stations in the group, has sponsored this for a few years now.
Yeah, it's a great last year they had a lot of teams. A lot of fun, good time, raised a lot of money for us. It was a good day.
Still time to enter a team, by the way. September 7th at the Hotel Beacon, as Steve said. Wiffle ball fields right adjacent to the hotel. Game started 9 a.m. that day, September 7th. It's a Saturday. The entry fee is $60 a team. It's a double elimination tournament, six-person teams, so...
In the set, the format's kind of unique. People think softball, there's a fence, but it's just a square, and there's lines set up, like blocks.
Mm-hmm.
If you get in the first block, it's a single without anybody catching it. Second block's like a double, triple home run. So it's kind of unique, but it's good time. There's no running involved. Mm-hmm. You just basically bat.
There's no running. You don't have to hit it over the fence.
No. No going deep. Just hit the ball, and hopefully you hit one of the squares.
There's a knack to hitting a wiffle ball, by the way.
There is.
It's like
a knuckleball coming in at
you. Exactly. That's a perfect way to describe it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can remember playing home run derby with a wiffle ball when we were younger and we were kids. You could use them if you were in a neighbor's backyard or the backyard wasn't so big.
That's right. You're not going to break a window.
Yeah.
We played that all the time over at Emily Britton when I was growing up.
You could bang it off the side of the house without worrying too much. I think somebody did break a window with one once, though.
Really?
Well, with a direct smash, at it. But it's a lot of fun. And by the way, males and females for this event. As a matter of fact, each six-person team must have at least two females.
Absolutely. So, that's the way it should be. Co-ed. We're to have fun, raise some money for... It's about the Warrior Foundation.
Tell us a little bit about It's About the Warrior, Steve.
We're a post-9/11 veterans organization located in Wexford. I'm originally from Butler. And I started this in 2011, 2012. It was a golf outing at an old Stonewall. In Elwood City, I just asked my buddies and I, Chad and I, and Dave Korn from Butler, and our friend Sean Swadinsky, who's a PGA pro out at Old Stonewall.
Mm-hmm. I know Sean.
Yeah, yeah. We just kind of came up with the idea, hey, let's have a fundraiser for the Wounded Warrior Project, which is the big national organization. And after we had the outing, we just decided why not just keep the money here and help local veterans, and it just started to evolve into a nice size, small nonprofit, but we do some great things for veterans with our various programs. We have a financial grant program. Our therapeutic program is in at our office in Wexford with Dr. Burnett. We do a lot of things for the, physically and mentally for the veterans. Dr. Burnett does stem cells, trigger point injections. We have two float pods that the veterans can go and lay in for free, actually. And then we have our outreach programs, which involves we have a hockey team. We have 65 guys on that roster. We have a softball team, golf, concerts. Try to do a lot of family stuff and mm-hmm. keep the families together and have a good time.
So you really have grown over the past 8 years or so that you've been in existence.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how it's evolved. When I first started, I think we raised like $50,000 and gave back, you know, maybe 20, 30. So we had some money in the bank to veterans. And then last year we gave back $325,000 back to veterans. Over the years, we just evolved and doing great things for veterans.
We were talking earlier on the program today about the incredible length of the war in Afghanistan. It's almost 18 years now that the United States has had troops fighting in Afghanistan.
Well, if you remember the Russians, they were there for a long time, and they decided to get out. I don't know if we'll ever stay. I think we'll stay there because we have, you know, permanent bases there. So you got to have some kind of presence in my mind. Otherwise, as soon as you leave, they're just going to come back and take over. And then we'll be back over there again. That's just my view of it.
Longest war in American history by far.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And these guys come back, you know, and it's one of the things we kind of like pick up the slack of stuff the VA maybe can't do, or maybe the VA's a little overwhelmed. They do a tremendous job, but, you know, that's where we pick up the slack with our organization helping tri-state area veterans post 9/11.
Do we have a considerable number coming back now? I think we're down to about 14,000 troops overall, Americans in Afghanistan right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I think there'll be a presence there for a long time. I just from hearing stories from guys coming back, if you do pack it in and leave, that they'll just wait and they'll just take over again. They'll just start taking villages over again, the Taliban, ISIS, the Mujahideen, whatever.
So what about the veterans coming back? Obviously, some of them have visible disabilities from war injuries and so on and so forth. But there are those with invisible disabilities too, right?
Correct, and that's the majority of them. You know, we have a couple veterans, double amputees, Marines, Brandon Rumbaugh, Dave Emery. You can see their injuries. But you don't see the guys that come back from combat and the carnage of war and multiple deployments, and they come back and just they don't feel like they fit into society again. So that's one of the things we try to focus on, is getting them acclimated back into society by having, you know, group meetings, you know, going to events, hanging out, because they're with other veterans and they can speak the lingo, they can talk about their combat experience, and they get a lot of stuff off their chest, and it actually makes them feel good.
Mm-hmm. It's something that I personally have not had to deal with, and I've been blessed in that regard, but I can only imagine how easy it would be to feel that you don't fit in anymore when you come back from a combat assignment overseas.
Absolutely. I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Hurt Locker with Jeremy Renner.
I did not see that, no.
It kind of depicts, it's kind of a very good depiction of what happens when you get multiple deployments, because that's all you want to do, that's all you know.
Uh-huh.
You kind of get stuck in a rut on it, and you know, they're trying to come back to try to get acclimated back with their families, especially and their friends, and back to society, and they just can't. And who you really feel bad for is the families, because the wives, they don't know what's going on. So, you know, and there's multiple therapies out there at the VA for these guys to get, and they just gotta, you know, I always say, quit being a tough guy and, you know, go get the help that you need.
And multiple deployments are very common.
Oh, absolutely.
In Afghanistan, because we have a lot of Army Reserve personnel.
Absolutely. And Iraq. I mean, there's still some in Iraq, and a lot of them go to Kuwait.
Yeah.
There's a base there. There are bases there. So, you know, there's so much stuff going on in the world today that, you know, guys have to do multiple deployments. And to be honest with you, that's what they love to do. A lot of people think that's crazy that you say that, but that's what they really like to do.
Three, four, five deployments, right. Not unheard of at all these days.
I have a guy in our organization. He's a Ranger, Green Beret, just came back from Afghanistan. He had six deployments in 8 years. And, you know, multiple, when I say deployment, he's over there 6 to 7 to 8 months. And he would come back, then he'd go back. But he was a Special Forces, so he did some crazy stuff. He, you know, showed me some crazy videos, but that's the environment that they like. And people might think it's crazy to say that. That's, again, that's what they're used to doing.
Very
that's
hard.
The, that's what they train for.
Feel like you fit back into society when you come home, and even fit back into your family, right?
Yeah, and that's the problem that I see is a lot of wives, a lot of family members struggle because they don't understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about the VA, again, they have, you know, family counseling, and it's just getting those guys to realize, hey, I do need the help. I just gotta go get it.
Has the It's About the Warrior Foundation ever helped any returning female veterans?
Absolutely. We don't have a whole lot, but we have a lot of female veterans that we've helped out in a variety of ways, whether it's coming to our office and seeing Dr. Burnett, having some kind of treatment, or maybe laying in the float pod therapies we have. And again, the get-togethers, whether we go to a concert, a Steeler game, you know. Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about, I'm not familiar with the term flow pod. Tell me about that a little bit?
Our flow pods, we have two of them in our office in Wexford. And what that is, it's 900 pounds of Epsom salt and hot water. And basically, you're suspended on top of the water because you're buoyant. And you're floating on top of the water. And, it's magnesium. It gets into your body. It's supposed to heal the body. It's a relaxation therapy as well. So it looks like a big egg, and you get inside it. The water is 95 degrees.
I was going to say, is it warm water?
Yeah, it's real water. It's warm water. It's 95 degrees. And you can close the pod, and you can close it, and there's lights in there. You can turn it off. There's music playing. And it's basically a relaxation therapy as well. But over time, as you keep doing it, that magnesium gets into your body, and it's supposed to help heal the body.
How long do you stay in there?
An hour. And I know a couple people stayed in there a couple hours. Dr. Burnett, for a matter of fact, one night slept in there for 6 hours.
And you do this, of course, obviously, it would depend on the individual situation, but
right.
You do this multiple times?
Absolutely. Like, we offer our veterans 3 free floats, so they can come anytime they want, but it's best to do it, like, once a week for 3 weeks and just continue to do it, and then you'll see the results over time. But it's very relaxing, and a lot of guys love it because they get out of there. I feel great. I haven't relaxed like that in a long time. And I've actually tried it, and, you know, I'm hyperactive half the time. And, you know, I got in and actually fell asleep, and so I was shocked. But it's really relaxing. The only thing is, if you get the salt in your eyes, or, you know, and it burns like crazy. But you take a shower before and after to get the salt off, you said.
So
it's really good. It's really, really good stuff.
The salt's what makes you buoyant.
Yeah, you're buoyant.
You float,
right.
In it.
Yeah, you're buoyant right on top of the water. There's a little pillow, and you just lay back, and you think you get this sensation like you're going to sink because your head falls, but you don't. And you just lay there and just relax and take a little nap, and it's really relaxing.
Are there any other therapeutic aids for veterans there?
Absolutely. We have biofeedback with Mackenzie. She's a neurologist. She does this. It's more of a breathing technique to calm the nerves and get your blood pressure, your pulse, and all your rate on the same level. And I really can't describe it because she described it better than I, but a lot of our veterans have taken this therapy. There's like 25 of our guys and have seen huge results. Actually, one of our veterans was a West Point grad, and he was suicidal. And he came in and did this biofeedback, bioconquest it's called, and has seen tremendous results. Again, it's more of a breathing technique, and again, a relaxation, how to deal with anxiety. Good stuff there. And then Dr. Burnett does a variety of things like acupuncture, trigger point injections, like if you have a lower back injury or any kind of injury. I do stem cells and PRP. PRP is where they take the blood out of you, they spin it, and they put the plasma back in your wound. Just he does some real innovative stuff. He's a physiatrist, which is a pain management doctor, and does some really innovative stuff. No, he does not prescribe opioids at all. We don't believe in that. And he does really some cool things.
Acupuncture, trigger point, we're learning here in the West about some of these practices that have been commonplace in Eastern medicine
for centuries.
And they work.
And the results are, and I have it on my back probably once, twice a week, and the results are unbelievable. I mean,
have you tried the biofeedback? That interests me.
I did try just to see what it was like, and it does work. It really calms you. I didn't do a full session is 8 sessions. I only did like 4. She just wanted me to try to see it, and it was really calming. But over time, like I said, I've asked our veterans, you know, what's the feedback? Give me some feedback on this biofeedback, and they were like overwhelmed by it. At first, they were like, "Oh, come on," and then you see the results.
I was going to say that might well be the reaction of a lot of veterans when they hear this. Oh, come on, biofeedback, yeah. Really? What are you talking about? Do you get wired up when you get that, or what?
They put a wire on your earlobe,
uh-huh.
And it reads your heart rate. And they have a machine, and she's reading your pulse and everything at the same time, and they can line it. It's just, it's crazy, the stuff they do. Actually, it's crazy the medicine techniques that Dr. Burnett does, because you see great results without prescribing opioids.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. And again, our office is in Wexford, right across the street from Walnut Grill on 19. Any post-9/11 veteran or anybody in the community in the Tri-City area can go over and try it out.
I was going to ask specifically where you are. It's right on Route 19 in Wexford?
Right across the street from the Walnut Grill, going south towards North Allegheny High School.
Is there a sign there?
Oh, yeah. You'll see our logo. It's about the Warrior Foundation, and it's called Regeneration Pittsburgh. That's Dr. Burnett's office, but we're in there with him. He is a flight surgeon in Afghanistan for a year and a half. So he's seen a lot of stuff.
Flight surgeon, that's a medical doctor in the Air Force, I guess.
He was in Black Hawk, so you know if they had a wounded guy, he'd go on the flight
helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter, yeah. Black Hawks, and pick them up, and you know they had racks inside the Black Hawks, and you know just putting bodies, and he's pumping 3 IVs in them as fast as he can to keep them alive, and he's seen some stuff. He's told me some stories, and he said I lost some guys, but I saved some guys. Actually, one of our board members, this is a crazy story, one of our board members, Brandon Rumbaugh, is a double amputee Marine, had stepped on an IED in Afghanistan, lost both legs. Well, Dr. Burnett was on the Hilo, the Black Hawk that came in to rescue him and saved him. So we didn't know this until probably 6 years ago. Tom was on the board, and I said, I'm bringing this Brandon Rumbaugh on the board. And he walked in, told Tom where he was at in the Helmand province, which is the worst province in Afghanistan. And he looked at Brandon and he said, "You have a tattoo on your chest, 1986, big tattoo." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I remember you."
Wow.
We're like, "What?" I mean, he goes, "I remember the tattoo that year he was born." And we couldn't believe it. We're like staring at each other like, are you kidding me?
Gosh.
So talk about, you know, being close to home. And yeah. Now we're all best friends. And they're all on the board together. Mm. It's good stuff.
Let's take a break. We'll talk more with Steve Monteleone. It's about the Warrior Foundation here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Back right after these messages.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Summer may be coming to an end soon, but at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, they're already preparing for fall gardening. There's still time to plant lettuce, peas, radishes, turnips, and onions. New bird baths are also in stock, and check out all the amazing items for your pets, including both hemp joint and hemp calming soft chews for cats and dogs. And don't forget flea and tick collars, traps, and sprays. They have it all, from bone-eyed Japanese beetle traps to Mrs. Wage's salsa and pickle mixes at Osterling's Lawn and Garden, Monroe Street in Butler.
Chatting with Steve Monteleone from It's About the Warrior Foundation. It's your turn on WISR. We have a benefit wiffle ball tournament coming up for the vets. September 7th, that's a Saturday. It's not very far down the road, folks. We're getting closer and closer to the end of August. There's still time to enter a team. $60 a team, double elimination tournament. It's all fun, really. And it'll help to raise money. For It's About the Veterans. We're talking about that organization with Steve Monteleone, who was the founder of it. And as Steve mentioned, it just kind of grew by itself from what started as just a golf tournament to raise a few bucks.
I was a teacher down at McKeesport, and just kind of evolved. And then my teaching position was with the government. And
what did you teach?
Science and math.
Wow. Yeah.
It was in a STEM program called Starbase Atlantis. It was through the government.
Uh-huh.
So it was a government program down in the McKeesport area. So we had McKeesport, Penn Hills. They came to us. And we were in a Marine Corps Reserve Center in North Versailles. So I was there for 13 years, and they walked in December of 13 and said, hey, we don't have any more money for this program. You can either go back into the school system or, you know, stay in the government system. And I had started this foundation. I had not gotten paid. And I just decided to do this. I did something that told me that this is a thing to do, and just kind of evolved, and eventually I got a paycheck, and I'm the only paid employee, by the way. And, you know, just evolved over time.
You a veteran yourself, Steve?
Yes, sir. I was in the Air Force from 1986 to 93. Yeah, 7 years.
Wow.
Long time ago.
What'd you do in the Air Force? Anything specific?
I was in operations. I was in logistics and readiness in the readiness center. And I was in upstate New York, B-52s and refueling tankers at Griffiths Air Force Base. It's no longer there. It's closed. But I still go up every year. Still got friends up there. It's a great area. But I was there for 7 years, enjoyed every minute of it.
I've always been fascinated by the Air Force and the
work
that they do.
Yeah, flying is great. Like, I love some of those planes. I you know, just being in the Air Force, I've had a great opportunity to be in a lot of airplanes, which is great stuff. And then they got the new C-17 that they have now. I'm supposed to go up when the 9/11 wants to take me up and be like the honorary pilot for a day. So I'm looking forward to that.
Is that a new tanker or a new?
No, it's just a cargo plane, a C-17. It's unique in how it can take off on small runways and land on small runways. It's more
can still carry trucks and jeeps and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Usually you use C-5s for that, C-5 Galaxy. You can put eight tour buses inside that.
Wow.
Yeah, those things are huge. But the C-17 is more of a transport troops, transport like jeeps, small weapons, tactical stuff.
Will any of those be based in Pittsburgh, or is that strictly?
Yeah, they're all out of 9/11 right now. I think they have four of them right now, but they're getting four more.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I coach football at North Allegheny, so they fly over our stadium every day.
Yeah.
And
well, it's adjacent to Pittsburgh International Airport.
Right,
and
exactly.
Use the same runways and everything.
Exactly.
Adjacent to them. You mentioned, just going through some of my notes here that I was taking while you were talking about the foundation, there's a financial grant program available for veterans?
Yes, sir. We have a financial grant. Actually, to be honest with you, right now it's on hold because we're waiting for a grant that we were supposed to receive. But we have a financial grant program that, you know, say they're overdue in some bills. Mortgages, maybe they want to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
We would pay up to $1,500 per veteran per year. Last year, we spent $78,000 on that program, helping veterans out.
Mm.
So it's unique in that, you know, they apply and the board goes through it. And, you know, there's a screening process. We know it's not going to hand them $1,500. There's a screening process, but most of the time it gets approved just to help them out.
You also said that through the It's About the Warrior Foundation. You have some outreach sports programs for returning veterans, post-9/11 veterans?
Yes, sir. We have We have a, through our outreach program, we have a hockey team we started last year called the Pittsburgh Warthogs. There's 65 guys on the roster, and we play other veterans teams, like Philadelphia has a team, Buffalo has a team. There's 24 teams around the country. And last year we went to the national championships in Tampa Bay and played down there. We had an A team and a B team. Our A team lost in the semifinals, but our B team made it to the championship game and lost. But it was a great experience for the guys. Had a great time.
Must have some pretty skilled skaters, hockey
players.
Yeah,
well, the A team is more for guys that, like myself, that have been playing for years. And then the B team is more of novice guys that just want to play, you know. Mm-hmm. And they categorize that pretty well, USA Hockey and the people that run the tournament. Next year, the tournament's actually here in Pittsburgh.
I wonder if have the guys ever been able to get down to the Lemieux Center in Cranberry and see what it's like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. We've skated there a couple times. Now, there's another team, too. There's another Pittsburgh Warriors. That's another veterans team. But we're the Warthogs. We actually skate out of RMU, and the Warriors skate out at Lemieux. But, yeah, we've had some special guests. I'm pretty good friends with Colby Armstrong, former Pens alumni. He comes out and skates with us, Phil Bork. There's a couple other guys that will come out and skate with us. But we play in a men's league, and then we play, like I said, we're going to go to Nashville next year playing a tournament, Philadelphia playing a tournament in D.C., and then the one here in Pittsburgh. And then we have our softball team just finished up. We have 35 guys on that roster just finished up playing in the league in Wexford. We have golf, and we just sent 10 guys on a fishing trip up in Erie, chartered, and they caught 70 pounds of tuna. Or not tuna, salmon, sorry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do a lot of hunting. Hunting is coming up. Hunting season is coming. Archery, so we've sent a lot of guys on hunting trips. We formed a committee, and they made some great relationships with some outfitters around the country, Shiloh out in Fenelton, taking guys out there as well. So we're doing a lot of cool things and continue to do it.
Good things for returning post 9/11 veterans through any number of programs. And the It's About the Warrior Foundation. Well, we want to mention that the registration deadline is coming up soon, beginning of next week, if you want to enter a team in our Wiffle Ball Tournament for the Vets, sponsored by one of our sister stations here at the Butler Radio Network, 97.7. And you can get full details on the, I went over some of the regulations, it's double elimination tournament, six-person team, so on and so forth. And Steve mentioned, you're not dated over the fence. There's no running. It's a fun tournament. Yeah. We've done it for a couple of years and had some good fun with it and raised a lot of money, too. So if you want to get a team together, you get the complete tournament rules at 977rocks.com. That's 977rocks.com. And again, you just complete the registration form and get it into us by the deadline at the beginning of next week. And if you can't find a team but still want to help out, you can become a sponsor. You can get more information on that as well at the Rock 97.7 website. Steve Monteleone, you're doing great stuff for returning veterans.
Thank you. Appreciate
with the foundation.
It. Appreciate it. It's a lot of work, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours sometimes, but we're doing good stuff. And if people want to check us out, our website is iatw.us. We have a bunch of events coming up. Wiffle ball thing in September 7th. We're having a lobster fest September 8th at Sunny Jim's in North Hills, and our gun bash is in October and down in South Point. So you can check us out on the website and get involved.
What's the website again?
IATW.US.
IATW, that's It's About the Warrior.
Right, yeah. .US.
Steve Monteleone, founder of the foundation. Good to talk with you again, Steve.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Sure. City Hall on tomorrow's program. And don't forget, on Monday, it's another book talk day. We have a nonfiction book to discuss, and it's a sobering story. It's a book selected by the South Butler Library in Saxonburg, Midnight in Chernobyl, the untold story of the world's greatest nuclear disaster in Russia, 1986, long time ago. Midnight in Chernobyl. We'll be talking about it on Monday. I'm Dave Malarkey. Thanks for being with us today. Enjoy the rest of your day. Watch out for those showers. Looks like they're going to be coming in pretty soon here. And we hope to see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Lady, say, Claire, the best side.